Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. حي على السلام. حي على السلام. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
سچائی ایک ایسا وصف ہے
Hazur says that truthfulness is such a quality that not only has been promoted or endorsed by religion, in fact, every single person, whether he follows a religion or does not follow a religion, universally, this great quality of truthfulness is endorsed to a great extent. However, if we assess this, then despite the fact of all of this, despite this expression, the due of expressing the truth is not fulfilled. Whenever the opportunity arises for anyone, for the benefit of their vested interests and personal gains, lying or falsehood is relied upon, from the level of the individual or the personal, to matters of international relations, the intensity to which the adoption of truthfulness is expressed or claimed, when the time arrives to that same degree, this expression of truth is negated. To attain their personal desires in even ordinary daily matters, lying or falsehood is relied upon. That real truthfulness, which is called Qaul-e-Sadeed, that is being negated. In matters of business, a large majority of the world are relying on falsehood or lying. In social relations or matters of concerns, then often lying or falsehood is relied upon. In national politics, truthfulness is completely negated. In international politics and also international relations, we find the foundation of this is also often or not based on lying and falsehood. This is what we normally observe now. To the degree that religion, which purely calls towards truth and propagates the truth, even in religion, we find that people, for their vested interests, have also combined falsehood and lying even in this. And they have destroyed the truth, or they try to destroy this truth, that they should hide the truth in such a manner that no indication of truth is left at all. Some firmly believe the following, that if you lie so much, it will become something truthful. That truth becomes falsehood, and falsehood becomes the truth. This audacity and this brazenness usurps truth at every level and every strata, and this has formed for the following reason, because there is no longer belief in God. If there were belief in God, then at every strata and at every level, falsehood would not be relied upon as it is relied in this society and at this time, as is often the case. In personal lives, disagreements and acrimony arise because truth is not adopted. And because they do not adhere to truthfulness, the husband does not rely on the wife, and the wife does not rely on the husband. And when the children witness all of this happening, they see that on so many occasions their parents are lying, then this habit of telling lies also rubs off onto the children. When the new generation at times become involved in immoral ways or wrong acts, then this occurs because the lying that occurred in the house led them to performing other bad things. So consciously or unconsciously, instead of adopting respect and honor for truth, some people are actually negating that truthfulness and are destroying their children in this way. This is the state of other societal relations as well. In the same way, there is lying in business and trade, as I said before. Unfortunately, in Muslim countries, this disease is more common. The degree to which they profess telling the truth and the expression of honesty, to that same degree are they negating and usurping that truth. In the same way, there is national politics. Often in this, we find that falsehood or lying is relied upon. However, those countries that call themselves as Muslim countries, who Allah and His Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon Him, have inculcated to remain established on truth and to hate the falsehood, and the guidance in this regard has been given with great emphasis, yet to that same degree they rely on falsehood. Recently in Pakistan, speaking about the circumstances of Karachi and Sindh, a disgruntled politician spoke up about his people and revealed all that was in his heart about the inside circumstances. So, upon that statement, some analysts and commentators said that this expression of truth by this politician is not the work of a politician. This should not be expected of a politician to tell the truth. Because he is telling the truth, he is not a politician, rather, he is insane. So they did not reject or negate what he said, that what he said was wrong. When they analyzed, they said that because he is telling the truth, he is insane. So one analyst or commentator said that he has put his political life and also worldly welfare on the line. And only an insane person would do this. So in short, according to these people, this truthfulness and this honesty is a means of decline. This is their state and this is their condition. So therefore, in their eyes, politics and also government take precedence over the word of God. Allah and His Prophet have said, do not lie. Yet these people say that for politics and also for government, you should adopt falsehood. And if you do not do this, you are doing something wrong. Despite this, these people are considered as strong Muslims, and Ahmadis are deemed as non-Muslims, who for the sake of truth put their businesses, their properties and their lives on the line. And they do this for the reason that they worship that one God. He who said that lying is shirk, that is associating partners with God. And they do this because they accept that Nabi, that Prophet, upon whom the last law-bearing book in the shape of the Holy Quran was revealed. The commandment of which is the root of all sin and all immorality is falsehood. then there is international politics. In this, whether it relate to Muslim governments or Western governments, their condition is all the same. In those particular countries, in their relations with their own friends, they normally express the truth to some extent. There is some honesty to some degree. However, when the question arises of other countries, of Muslim countries or other governments, then their stance alters completely. This condition of theirs was revealed and demonstrated on the first attack of Iraq. When to remove Saddam Hussein, they destroyed and devastated Iraq completely. They seized all the natural resources of the country, and after they said, actually, this was a mistake on our part. And all the information regarding all the cruelty, the dangerous plotting, the threatening weapons to destroy the world and also bring the neighboring countries under their influence. So all this news that we had received that Saddam Hussein was going to do all of this, we did not find all of this there. Then Libya was targeted. But now they say that actually we received incorrect intelligence and information. That much persecution is not occurring as we had been informed about. So all of this news is now being given by the Western press and the Western media. Therefore, on the basis of false propaganda, they first attack these countries, then in order to make themselves out as truthful through their own media, they release the statement that actually we were mistaken. In terms of all the information we had been given, not all of this could be corroborated. In fact, even this truth is used to conceal falsehood. The purpose is to gain control of the natural resources of these countries, and they did achieve this. However, it was Muslims who granted them the opportunity to attain those natural resources. If the millions and billions of dollars of the country's resources are spent on the public, then neither will such disorder ever arise within the country. Neither would those other external powers have the courage to come in and interfere with the nation's dealings. In short, falsehood on an international scale. And not only the concealing of the truth, moreover, to shatter the truth to complete pieces, almost all countries and governments of the world are playing a role in this regard, and they believe that we will be saved. Even if they are saved in this world, there is also a life in the next world. There is a hereafter. There is a world to come as well, where everybody will be held to account. Then we find that this does not end with the worldly people. We see that in the name of religion, the so-called caretakers of religion, they negate and reject the truth. And instead they promote and endorse falsehood. Amongst these are the anti-Islamic powers as well, those who are opponents of Islam. And in this era, those who are opponents of the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are also included in this. They are actually playing the role of anti-Islamic powers. They know the truth, yet for their own personal gains and vested interests, and also for their own religious position, they rely on falsehood. They poison the minds of the common man and the public, and they excel one another in this regard. There are many who have read the literature and books of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and the Jamaat, and based on that they give their dars. They deliver their speeches. It is from that material that they form their speeches. Because without our material and our information, in order to render the opponents of Islam speechless, they have no arguments, they have no material, they have no literature for this task. In this time, it is the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, alone, who defended Islam in such a passionate and splendid way with such great arguments that nobody can rebut those arguments. However, in order to deceive the public, these people say that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, God forbid, is false. I have mentioned this a few times before, that somebody mentioned to me, and this not only happened once or twice, but people have told me this about many different people, different ulama, Muslim scholars who come onto the television and deliver dars and speeches, that they have seen in their houses Tafsir-e-Kabir and also other books and other volumes of this collection. And they do not possess these books only to take out allegations and objections. They do this on the surface, but this person told me himself that from this, these people take benefit and they use that material in their dars, that is the arguments they find in our literature. So therefore, these people have no concern whatsoever in proving the superiority of Islam. And this is why they do not inform the masses of the truthful ways. Because if they do, they are afraid that perhaps they will lose their pulpits and also their religious positions. And perhaps they would have to give away their religious authority. Anyhow, these are the efforts of these people, and in every time, whenever Allah the Almighty commissioned any of His chosen people, then the opponents always work in this way. However, Allah has a decree which sets into motion, and Allah's decree always remains dominant. It is truth that will enable Allah's decree to become dominant. And this is why Allah the Almighty always in the world sends prophets, and He has been sending prophets. At a time when falsehood reaches its peak, when disorder reaches its climax, and truth completely vanishes, at such time Allah's chosen ones and prophets, they are commissioned who establish truth in the world. And despite the opposition against them, they promote the truth and they progress and advance forward. Along their path, the enemy put hundreds of thousands of hurdles, but Allah's decree always remains dominant and overcomes this. And Allah's decree always remains with these prophets, with His chosen ones, and it keeps on supporting and helping these chosen ones and prophets. In this era, it is this promise that is with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and with the grace of Almighty Allah. Allah continues to fulfill this promise. These opponents, they hold conventions and jalsas, they hold processions, they perform cruelties, and in September there are jalsas held in Rabwa as well. Their senior ulama of the Muslim clergy, they converge there. So they call this convention Tajdari Khatamun Nabuwwat Conference. In this conference, apart from abusing the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, using abusive and filthy language against the Jamaat, nothing else occurs in this conference. They spend the entire night in this way, using filthy and abusive language. And they do this in the name of Allah and His Messenger. So anyhow, this is their condition. And the decree of Allah is set in motion. The Jamaat is progressing beyond leaps and bounds. If Allah's decree was not there, if Allah did not fulfill His promises, and the one commissioned by Him were not dominant or did not overcome, then Allah, God forbid, would be considered wrong in His promises. And the faith in religion, the faith in the messengers, the faith in Allah would vanish from the world. So therefore, Allah the Almighty, in order to maintain this faith, In order to enhance the faith in righteous persons, he displays such manifestations that at every time becomes a means of strengthening the faith. Some aspects have been mentioned in stories of old. Narrations of truthfulness have been mentioned therein. And this thereby becomes the means of enhancing the faith of those who believe. Some new accounts and narrations are related. This thereby influences and convinces a person towards the truthfulness of the founder of that faith. And the followers, they are influenced in a positive manner. Some people are directly informed about the truthfulness of the commissioned ones from God, and they are guided in this way. In short, it is the truthfulness of the commissioned one from God who in that person's own time, in that commissioned one or that prophet's own life, it is a truthfulness in his own life that becomes a means of grabbing people's attention towards him. And later, people seeing the progress of that faith, seeing the actions of the followers of that chosen one, and seeing that jamaat that is attached to that prophet, they attain guidance from Allah and thereby become the guided ones. Anyhow, when we reflect on the life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, so we find that the people of his time, even the kuffar, the disbelievers, would know him by the name of Suduq and Amin, that is, the truthful and the trustworthy. It was the truthfulness of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that when he gathered his relatives and the chiefs of Makkah and said that if I tell you that behind this hill there is an army hidden that you cannot see, will you believe this? This was apparently something impossible. For an army to be concealed behind the hill, it would not have been possible for that army to be invisible. Yet despite this, everybody said unanimously that, O Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, you have never lied. Therefore, we believe this. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached to these people, but these people were worldly people. Their hearts were of stone. And therefore, that message had no impact upon them, and this is why the end was terrible. Some did become Muslim after. But anyhow, prophets, through their truthfulness, convince people of their message and attract people towards them. The Holy Quran as well, mentioning the preaching of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the Holy Quran has preserved these words of the Prophet, that فَقَدْ لَبِعْسُ فِيكُمْ أُمَرًا مِّن قَبْلِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. In other words, that I have indeed lived among you a whole lifetime before this. Will you then not understand? This is that argument that was given regarding the truthfulness of prophethood and also of that person commissioned by God. That he said that I have lived a lifetime among you. I have never lied. Now I have reached an elderly age. Will I now lie? And for that matter, will I lie against God? That God who has equated lying to shirk, associating partners with God, and I have even included this within my own teachings. And I have in fact come for the purpose of establishing Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. So therefore, this was the reply of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So therefore, a great means of the preaching of the prophets and a weapon that they had for their propagation was their truthfulness. In every aspect of their lives, the luminosity of truth is manifested. With this reference, they preach and propagate their message. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was also given the revelation that وَلَقَدْ لَبِعْسُ فِيكُمْ أُمْرًا مِّنْكُمْ قَبْلِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, that I have indeed lived among you a whole lifetime, so therefore will you not understand. In Nazulul Masih, the descent of the Messiah, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes that in around 1882, Allah the Almighty blessed me with this revelation that فَلَقَدْ لَبِئْسُ فِيكُمْ أُمُرٌ مِّنْكُمْ قَبْلِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Within this, the Alim al-Ghayb God, the knower of the unseen, has indicated towards the following, that no opponent would ever be able to lay any blame on your life history. So therefore, until now, when my age is approximately 65 years old, so the Promised Messiah says, when I wrote this, I was 65 years old. He says that no person, whether hair or far off, could lay any finger upon my character. In fact, the purity of my previous life, Allah compelled the opponents to admit this. As Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib has used very strong words in his magazine, Ishaat or Sunnah, he has repeatedly praised myself and also my family, and has claimed that regarding this person and regarding his family, nobody more than me is aware of them. And then, being bound to justice, he has praised us. So therefore, such an opponent, who actually is the founder of that opposition, he testifies to the prophecy, وَلَقَدْ لَبِيَسُ. Therefore, truthfulness is such a quality that becomes a great means for the Prophet to be true and also for him to propagate and preach. This is why Allah the Almighty, regarding His Prophet's statement, that I have indeed lived a lifetime among you, I have never lied, so will I lie now? Regarding this, Allah the Almighty has presented this as a great quality and character of His chosen and beloved ones. You heard this extract regarding the Promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, that was read out. When the opponents cannot lay any stain upon his life, then truthfulness, which is the highest quality of the life or biography of a person, then considering this, how can anybody say that, God forbid, he is false? The Maulvis of today, those who raise allegations, can say whatever they want. Indeed, they use foul and useless language, but they cannot corroborate or prove any of their allegations. Today as well, those who are righteous people and those who are pious, those who seek guidance from Allah being righteous, Allah the Almighty also dawns the truth of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, upon them. In the previous Jummah or Friday sermon, I presented certain accounts and narrations how Allah the Almighty testify to the truth of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon Him. Those people who, becoming pious and becoming righteous, sought help from God, and this was dawned upon them. So therefore, it is this truth which prophets bring, and this truth is manifested and expressed in every aspect of their lives. It is this truth alone that we need to manifest upon the world. That is, those who are the followers of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon Him. Because it is also the responsibility of those who follow the Promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, that that Prophet that they believe in, they should propagate his truth to the world. They should also bring the world to the path of guidance. And in this time and era, Islam is that final and last religion that is the center and hub of all truth. This is that one and unique religion that presents its teaching in its pristine and original state. This is that one and unique religion in which Allah's book is still present in its actual state, and inshallah, God enabling, will remain in its original state until the end of times. This is actually the claim of the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the source and spring of all truthfulness. All other religious books are based on stories, fables, myths, and also fabrications. So therefore, to illuminate the world with this truth is the duty and obligation of a Muslim. However, the majority of Muslims themselves are immersed in wrongdoing, as I mentioned before. How can they show anybody the path of truthfulness? On one occasion, a gathering was being held with others. They were the majority of Christians. In fact, almost all were Christians. I was sitting there in this gathering. And we were discussing these very matters. And I was saying that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has brought this message. This message is for the entire world, for Muslims, for Christians alike. And inshallah, God enabling, the righteous people will gather under his hand, whether they are Christians, Hindus, or anybody else. That Christian, he said something. He might have been the professor of a university, but anyhow, he had a deep attachment with religion. So he said to me that first reform the Muslims, then reform us Christians. So at that time, I did provide him with the reply. But this is the reality, that the reformation of the Muslims is necessary, and it is because of the Muslims that sometimes we sometimes have to face embarrassment. But anyhow, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came for this purpose, to also reform the Muslims. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the instruction to Muslims that when that Imam Mahdi comes, accept him. Even if you have to crawl over ice-clad mountains, you should accept him. However, we Ahmadis, who claim to be in the Jamaat or the community of the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, we have to convey this message of truthfulness to the world. But how can we do this? First of all, we need to prove ourselves as truthful. The prophets of God proved their truthfulness in their own lives by presenting truthfulness. From the routine daily matters to matters of international concern, they said that we never lie to any person. In any dealing or in any relations, we never lied. So therefore, this expression of truth we need to also present in our own lives. And it is this work that is the task of those who follow the prophets, that in the way that the prophets give the example of their own lives, his true followers need to present the truthfulness in their own lives in such a beautiful manner that the world stands up and takes notice. We have been instructed to follow the usfa, the example of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So therefore, whilst following this example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we most of all need to adopt this quality of truthfulness. We can only then further the message of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. When we adopt this quality, it is then that we can be successful in conveying the message of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to the world. However, we can only attain the true levels of truthfulness when in our work, in our words, from all angles, at every strata, at every level, in our works, in our deeds, we will only attain blessings. We will only attain those levels when at every strata and at every level, at every moment, we immerse that in truthfulness. From our household family lives to our lives outside the home, in whatever society and environment we may live in, our truthfulness needs to shine as an example. It is only then that blessings will infuse in our words. It is only then that our morality, our truthfulness, will impact upon others and bring others towards Ahmadiyyat and Islam. In short, this is the reason why we need to make great efforts and strive in this regard. We need to channel our actions so that they are immersed in truthfulness. If for small personal profits we rely on falsehood, then what impact will our words have? As I said on many occasions before, if we make false statements, for example, from the council, from the government, we are attaining financial benefits. If we are not paying our taxes properly or adequately, then when you are caught, this will become the means of defaming the Jamaat. Because everybody becomes aware of who an Ahmadi is, that this person is an Ahmadi. And when this disgrace occurs, then how can tabligh or preaching occur? How can we then prove to the world that this Jamaat or community that you are attached or belong to, who claim that Ahmadis do not indulge in bad acts, they abide by the law, they are different from other Muslims, because in this era and in this time, they perform the bid, the pledge of allegiance of that person who came to guide the world. So then this would become difficult to prove. So therefore, in order to prove this, we would need to rectify and reform our actions. We would need to take care of small and minor matters. How can we prove that we are those people who follow the Quran and the Sunnah, the practice of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? So therefore, we need to pay heed towards our personal reformation to convey this work, and also for the progress of the Jamaat. We need to make great efforts in this regard. If you are caught for lying, not only are you putting yourself into difficulty, but in fact, you are also becoming the means of disgracing Islam and the Jamaat. Then there are also other immoral ways. Some youngsters, they keep bad company. Then there are matrimonial disputes, disagreements between the husband and wife. Sometimes the matter even reaches the police, where one party makes false statements. So anyhow, all of these things becomes a means of disgracing the Jamaat. And this sets a bad example in society, and this becomes a hindrance in the preaching efforts. Conversely, if one gives false statements habitually, then within the Jamaat, in one's personal matters, a person also relies on falsehood and lying. And based on this falsehood, everything in his life becomes devoid of blessings. As I stated, that this has a detrimental effect on the children in the home. They do not listen to what they are told. Some children even write to me that our father outside the home is well known for being a very honest, sincere, upright and pious person who serves the Jamaat greatly, but we are aware how he is within the home, that he makes wrong statements, he does not tell the truth. So what influence can such fathers have on the children? Or what influence can such mothers have who use false statements have on their children? When this matter is investigated, then again, they adopt falsehood that everything is fine, we are correct. So therefore, the tabligh efforts and also the statements of such people have no effect. When such people have no influence on their children within their own homes, their children are negatively influenced by their parents, a wrong impression is being set upon the children, then how can they reform the outside world? Therefore, every single Ahmadi needs to pay heed and take care of this matter, that if these matters are rising and increasing, then we will be counted amongst those people who say something but act differently. We raise the slogan that Ahmadiyyat is true. It is a true Islam. We raise this slogan that love for all, hatred for none. But first and foremost, we need to give love to our homes. We need to establish truth in our household. We need to give love to our family and relatives. We need to give love to the members of the Jamaat. We need to give love to our surrounding society. It is then that our love will expand and increase and go from strength to strength. And it is through that that truth will increase. Otherwise, our slogan will be a hollow one. We will be raising a completely false slogan. Because on the one side, there will be anxiety in our household. And on the other hand, we are inviting others that come, attain truth and remove your anxieties. We would be going to others and preaching to them the message of love. Yet our relations with our neighbors are not good. The neighbor has the biggest right. In the Holy Quran, the neighbor has the biggest right. In Islam, the neighbor has been given the biggest right. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that your brother in religion is your neighbor. That is, it is not just houses that are joined together that is a neighbor. In fact, every brother in your faith is a neighbor and therefore fulfill his right. So therefore, if we are truthful, then we need to strengthen our relations with every single other person. Otherwise, our tabligh, our preaching will be devoid of blessings. Allah the Almighty states that Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taqulu ma la taf'alun, that O ye who believe, why do you say what you do not do? Because if you do not practice what you preach, then this is hypocrisy. And there can never be blessings within this. This will always lead to something which is devoid of blessings. Do not tarnish the faith with your disparity between your word and your deed. That ardent devotee of that true and perfect Prophet with whom you have attached or who you claim to be attached with, you will only truly connect yourselves with him when nobody can raise a finger upon you that this person is a liar or false. If that person is a liar or false, then that person with which he is attached with and based on which he is claiming to be truthful, that this person is a liar himself. So that person you are attached with and based on which you are claiming to be true, his truthfulness will become objectionable or be in doubt. This is why the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, after connecting with me, do not disgrace us. This is why we should remember that for the victory of Ahmadiyyat, we have the weapon of truthfulness that we need to utilize. There is no doubt whatsoever that the teachings of Islam are truthful. The Holy Quran is true. And this teaching will remain until the end of times. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final law-bearing prophet, and now no new law, no new truth will descend from Allah. All the excellences of prophethood ended with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no doubt whatsoever that the claim of the ardent devotee of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true. He is that Messiah and Mahdi who is prophesied to come, and now the progress and advancement of Islam is linked with the progress of Ahmadiyyat. But to become a part of that progress and success, to convey that truth, the responsibility of an Ahmadi to fulfill that, we need to make our actions true. We need to channel our actions completely and entirely with that teaching which we are actually preaching ourselves. So therefore, if we want to be a part of that victory which is destined for Islam, inshallah, God willing, if we want to be a part of that victory whose promise is attached in this time with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's true and ardent devotee, then at every single moment we need to assess ourselves and take account of our own being, that to what extent are we truthful in our homes, in our surrounding society, in our matters of the Jamaat, in matters of business and trade. We would need to assess our levels of truthfulness. If our assessment is something which leads to agitation, then we need to be extremely concerned and worried. Indeed, the victory of Ahmadiyyat is a certain fact, and we testify to this victory on a daily basis. But those who are not fulfilling the right of truthfulness, they will be deprived of being a part of this victory. So therefore, this is something of great concern. This is something which needs deep reflection. This is something that needs to be greatly pondered upon, that after attaining truthfulness, how can we ensure that our actions are devoid of falsehood or lying? It should always be kept before us that lying is shirk, associating partners with God. Those Ahmadis who, for the sake of the expression of truth and to maintain that truthfulness, have given sacrifices or who are giving sacrifices in this way, they are actually giving sacrifices against shirk, setting up partners with God. They are actually making sacrifices to establish the government of the one God in the world. They are making sacrifices against those oppressive and despotic rulers and cruel mullahs. Upon that statement of theirs, when they say that if you desire life, if you want to safeguard your property and possession, if you want tranquility for your children, then leave the truth and adopt falsehood and follow us. So therefore, those who are giving sacrifices, who are attaining their purport and purpose, it is also the responsibility of those who live outside that every Ahmadi who relatively is living a peaceful and tranquil life, it is his duty that they should raise the levels of truthfulness to such an extent that falsehood naturally is killed off. And when with a pious endeavor we are striving to attain this objective, then most surely falsehood would have no route to take except to become extinct and destroyed. At the time of the victory of Makkah, Abu Sufyan said the following to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that if we had been truthful, if our idols had been truthful, and if they had been powerful or the possessor of any powers, then in that state of helplessness and weakness when you left Makkah, and all those efforts we made to exterminate you, because of that, we should have been in your position today. But like always, it was proved that just as in every matter of his life, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ expressed the truth, and he spoke nothing and nothing but the truth. Today it has been proved that this declaration of yours, that truthfulness is this alone, that there is only one God. You should worship Him. You should fulfill the right of His people. He is that true God, most surely. This declaration of yours, most certainly, is true. And the God of Islam is most definitely the true God, and its followers are also most surely true. This is why Abu Sufyan declared that I also announced the Kalima, the Muslim creed, and he entered into Islam in this way. As Rasul says, these were those models of truthfulness that the world witnessed, which converted the most hardened enemies into admitting the truth. So therefore, just as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, witnessed the world in a state of great disorder, and he removed the disorder with the light of truth, and he made the world into people of God. The mushriks, those who set up partners with God, became those who established Tawheed, the unity of Allah. The arrogance and the falsehood of the kuffar, the disbelievers of Makkah, they were completely crushed by the truthfulness of Allah and the promises of God. Today, those very promises are associated with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And as I explained, it is the promise of Allah that through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the victory of Islam will be attained. However, we need to become those who are people of Allah. We need to make truthfulness a part and parcel of our lives. And whilst remaining firm on the truth, we need to enhance and strengthen our faith so we can witness these manifestations. We alone are those people who perform the pledge of allegiance, the bayat at the hand of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that we will always give precedence to the faith over the world, and we will establish the truth, and we will exterminate falsehood and shirk, associating partners with God. Today, the expression of truthfulness and establishing honesty is the work of an Ahmadi, because we are those people who have taken the pledge of allegiance of that ardent devotee of that most perfect truthful person, and we have pledged to establish truthfulness in the world. And regarding fulfilling our pledges, Allah the Almighty says, in accordance with His command, that He will question us about this. So therefore, this is something we need to deeply reflect on, and we should be frightened and worried about. We should always remember that if we do not make ourselves as models of truthfulness, then we can never be those who establish Tawheed, the unity of Allah, and who convey the truth in the world. And the promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, came for this purpose. That truthfulness which 1400 years before the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, established, However, because of the erroneous ways of the Muslims, that truthfulness is vanished from the world today. And the world has become the example of Zahar al-Fasad of al-Barri wal-Bahr, when the land and the sea become immersed in corruption and disorder. But Allah, the Almighty, who bestows immense favor, He sent the promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, and by forming a Jamaat of His, He provided the means of removing this corruption and disorder. And also, through Khilafat ala Minhaj Nabuwat, Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood, and through establishing a Jamaat, a community, He gave us the hope and expectation of establishing truthfulness, to therefore at every level, to rid this disorder and instead replace it with truthfulness. To strive to achieve this is the responsibility of every single Ahmadi who attributes himself with this Jamaat. We need to remove this falsehood and disorder from our homes, which is becoming the means of agitation in our household. We need to remove this disorder and falsehood from our neighborhood as well. We need to remove this falsehood and disorder from our cities, and we need to remove this falsehood and disorder from the entire world, so that an atmosphere of love, peace, and reconciliation can be established in the world. With the grace of Almighty Allah, we are those who follow that Prophet who came to remove all the disorders and agitations in the entire world, who came as a mercy for the entire mankind, regarding whom Allah the Almighty stated that وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَىٰ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have sent thee not but as a mercy for all peoples. Therefore, by conveying the message of truthfulness and removing disorder from the world, this Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, became a means of mercy. Therefore, today it is our responsibility that remaining on the model and practice of this Asdaqul Sadiqeen, most truthful Prophet, and also this Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy of all mankind, we should convince others with this expression of truthfulness, preach to them the message of love and affection, and we should win the hearts of others with this weapon of truthfulness. Pistols, guns, rifles, and other weapons, through bullets, they end life. But that weapon of truthfulness that we need to present through our actions and also through our expressions, this is a life-giving weapon. Therefore, utilizing this weapon, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to go forth and go out today. May Allah the Almighty make it so that we can utilize this spiritual weapon of truthfulness and collect together all righteous persons and those who are in search of the truth, and through this means become those who establish such a wall of truth that no false person or satanic power can ever fall. And then that light of truth that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, emanated. That nur, that light, which is actually the reflection of the divine light, that it should spread in the world and go on spreading, inshallah, God willing. And that the world unites under the banner of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and witnesses the manifestation of Tawheed, the unity of Allah. May Allah enable us to achieve this. Today as well, there is a very sad news. I will lead the funeral prayer after the Friday prayers. One of our Ahmadi brothers from Faisalabad, Naseem Ahmed Bhatt Sahib, who was the son of Mukarram Muhammad Ramadan Bhatt Sahib. It has been 2 or 3 days when in Faisalabad he was martyred. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. It was through his paternal grandfather that this family came into Ahmadiyyat. His name was Ghulam Muhammad Sahib. He had the good fortune and blessing of taking the bayt during the era of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, may Allah be pleased with him. Naseem Ahmed Bhatt Sahib was born in 1957 in Faisalabad. He was a born Ahmadi. On 4 September, on Sunday, unknown assailants climbed over the wall of his house, fired at him, and martyred him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. This occurred on the night of the 3rd and 4th September. He was sleeping outside in the courtyard. He was woken up, and in the state of sleep, he was fired at. Two of the shots hit his stomach and the other hit his back. Wounded, he was taken to the hospital, and on 4th September, he passed away at 9 o'clock in the morning. Before his martyrdom, after he had been fired with the bullets, he took care of himself and he also consoled his wife and children. His younger brother, Wasim Ahmad Bhatt Sahib, in 1994, and also his cousin from his father's side, Nasir Ahmad Bhatt Sahib, Waldullah Raka Sahib, they both were martyred in the previous year. At that incident, Naseem Sahib also displayed great patience and tolerance. At the time of his martyrdom, Naseem Ahmad Bhatt Sahib was 54 years old. He worked in a factory. He was a person of high character and high moral standards. He was fearless and a very brave man. He would take part in Jamaat work and he would be very regular in contributing to Jamaat Chanda. Despite the fact that the Baitul Zikr Mosque was quite far from his home, he was very regular in offering the Friday prayers in the mosque. He was very obedient to the Nizam-e-Jamaat. He had sincerity and loyalty with Khilafat. He was a very simple person and would display great kindness and generosity to his wife and children. Compassion to the creation of God and also compassion to poor people was a prominent characteristic of his. And his family, he leaves behind, apart from his wife, Asya Naseem Sahiba, four daughters. Sundus Naz Sahiba is married. She is the wife of Ghulam Abbas Sahib. Then there is Zara Nur Sahiba, who is also married. Zara Kosar Sahiba is also married. Shamaila Kaval Sahib is 15 years old and studying in the 9th class. And the son, Safir Ramadan Sahib, is 11 years old. He is studying in the 4th class. One of his sons in the previous year passed away due to illness, and he was 22 years old. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased and grant great patience and tolerance to the family that have been left behind. After the Friday prayers, as I said before, I will lead the funeral prayers.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله
These martyrdoms that occurred 2 days after in Faisalabad, the secretary Amuri Amma of General Affairs of the Jamaat, he was also fired at. 4 bullets hit him. He has been admitted to the hospital. Until yesterday, he was in a critical state. Alhamdulillah, he is better now. Pray for him as well, that Allah the Almighty grants him excellent recovery. His intestines were damaged quite badly. Some were cut and some were healed because he was hit in the stomach. He was also hit in the neck and also on his arm. Similarly, yesterday in Lahore, an Ahmadi was attempted to be fired at in a drive-by shooting. One of the bullets missed him and the second bullet failed to fire. But anyhow, there is great opposition which has increased against the Ahmadis. Pray that Allah the Almighty keeps all the Ahmadis of Pakistan in His protection.
Ibadallahi rahimakumullah. Innallaha ya'murukum bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ